Get your balls back and be a better bitch. Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
And I'm a better bitch.
July 4th is Keith and the Girl Day. You know that. Wear a Keith and the Girl t-shirt, a Keith and the Girl sticker. Find out who you know that you didn't that is a Keith and the Girl listener, right? It works well with coworkers. You're like, oh, I didn't know. People found each other on airplanes. It's led to dates. It's led to marriages. No exaggeration. It led to children.
And also, it could lead to your shout out on this show. So don't forget to tag us on any social platform. And maybe we'll post your picture on our website. We'll shout you out on the show. Whatever it is, we want to know and we want to see you.
Today's guest is the host of the Beige Phillips Show. Actor in the TV series Limitless. I mean, the list goes on there.
Yeah.
Dante Nero, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Keith? Good to see you.
I just want to brag right away and say, I not only have my balls back.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm also a better bitch.
That's it. I've never heard anybody be both, but you take it for you to pull it off.
Well, right? I'm 43. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
Had a little time. Your show, of course, the Beige Phillips Show, you deal with relationships.
Yes.
And you fix these messes that are having a hard time.
Yeah, I usually fix the men, mostly.
Harry Tarjanian, your co-host.
Yes.
He was on here fairly recently.
Yeah.
The irony is he's a mess when it comes to relationships, yet you guys have the balls to say you're going to fix other people.
Well, Harry's doing a lot better.
Okay.
I am picking on him less when he's here.
Yeah, he's doing a lot better.
He's pushing back now.
First of all, I don't know if you saw it. He probably looked very nice. Did he look very nice? Like
he's always gorgeous. He's a dream.
Now, that wasn't the case before. You do remember that, right?
He wasn't as dapper.
Oh, yeah. He's just very meticulous about his hair, about his clothes, about his watch, you know.
And that's your doing.
I don't say, yeah, why not?
Are you trying to get him to wear 17 rings and five watches?
I mean, I want him to find his own little place, you know. I mean, I don't expect anybody. This is a lot of years of coming to all this is a lot of years of
how many pounds of jewelry do you have?
I mean, the bracelet is easily a pound and a half. I don't know. We can start with that. So it's a pound and a half with the bracelet.
Is this peacocking? Is that part of it? No.
I was always kind of doing a lot of things that I
you have a tusk teach. For an earring.
Yeah, it was buffalo horn and bone. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, of course. But a lot of the things that I did intuitively, I teach to do guys who don't get it. So, you know, and it's really fundamentally, it'll go to where you'll get a guy who will have sweatpants and a wife beater and a sauce on his shirt. And he's like, well, if she doesn't love me for what I am, right, then what? And it's like, dude, no.
Your mother doesn't even love you that
exactly.
way.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So, like, I mean, we all, when we go to a job interview, we put a good suit on and we make sure it's tailored and fit and we dress the part. And so why would any guy think that they can get a woman if they're not really playing the part? So
I get you. Mm. You recently pioneered a new self-improvement product called Male Reclamation
Therapy.
Explain this.
So what I do is I
hold their balls and they have to reclaim it.
I do one-on-one phone consultations in general. Like I'll do.
Can I be on one with you right now? I'll be a dude. Is that okay? We'll just try it.
Yeah, sure. Okay. What I'll do is reclamation theories is a series of those where I assess what's going on. I talk to them about what kind of goals they want to achieve. And then we find ways for them to reach the goals.
Bring.
Yeah. Hello?
Hi, this is Greg.
What's up? This is Dante.
Hey, Dante. It's really good to talk to you.
You got
to
be more excited than that. When they call me.
Click. It's a thrill to talk to Dante. You know,
how it is. You're in people's ear.
Right.
So finally, when they speak, they're like, holy shit.
Okay, let's try it again. I can do this better. Please, yes.
Ring.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, my God.
There it is.
Oh my God.
Some young dudes too.
Oh my God, this is amazing. Okay. So this is what happens to me when I talk to women. I just get super excited and I can't deal and I just shut down. Okay. I am wearing sweatpants right now, but I am wearing a button-down shirt as well. I'm hoping you can help me.
Well, you probably should never wear a button-down and sweatpants.
I'm writing this down. Hold on. Okay.
Not unless you're a warlord in Africa and you have a machete.
Okay. Got it.
Um, The first thing I ask
is, it bad that my new 3-month goal is to be a warlord?
Well, that I mean, you do get laid as a warlord. I mean, maybe not. It's not consensual, but I'm not touching that. All right. So, the first thing I would say is have you laid the 5 bricks? So laying the 5 bricks is,
I have not laid 5 women, but no, if we're calling them bricks now.
No. Well, what the first step of the program is that if somebody is I mean, and it's not just not getting laid. It's guys who have relationship problems, marriage problems, whatever. So,
and I'd like to add, who doesn't? Because socializing, sure, even, you know, people see us on mic, they hear us, they think it's like anybody who walks in here, we just have like a nice, easy rapport. We can talk to anybody, blah, blah, blah. Right. I used to be shy. Keith used to be picked on. Like, it is a thing that we had to consciously develop.
Sure.
How to not freak out when you're, sure, talking to a new person, re-entering something.
Well, it's something I say classically on the Beige Phillips show is, I say that as a man, you're expected to be good at relationships. Relationships and sex is the two things you're expected to be good at when you have no practice. Like, you're just supposed to know. And nobody
knows. Can I tell you a little secret?
Sure.
As a woman who likes men,
yeah,
we don't expect you guys to be good in bed anymore.
Really?
Yeah, you guys took that off the table. Good for you.
Wow. Yeah. Just, it's been so shitty that maybe you just said, right, you know what?
Yeah.
He's got a nice smile.
Right.
He brushes his teeth.
Why do you think we talk about how funny you people are?
Yeah. That was a thing, though. I mean, you know, like, you're supposed to know.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, let's be honest. I a lot of times I've spoken, especially younger girls, you find that if you don't kind of knock it out the park the first shot, you don't get a second shot.
Is that true? Can I touch, sure, on that? Because, sure, I have been in that position where the first time did suck. And to me, I think I operate like this. I will always give you a second chance, especially physically, unless it comes with this other bullshit. So, you know, a lot of guys like enjoy the fact that it's a one night stand. Like, mm-hmm, they enjoy the, we're definitely not calling back, whether it's going to be good sex or,
right,
you know, I'm going to knock it out the park, you know?
Right.
So if that's not, then I don't care to see you again.
And we talked about
this. I'm not a unicorn.
Yes, you are.
No, I am not.
Absolutely are.
I talk to other females.
Yeah, you talk to them, but they're not doing that.
They're not doing that.
No.
But we always talk about how women always want to call back. They always want, you know, a second thing.
Well, here's my thing.
Can I just say, there's a level of disrespect with some of that first not knocking out of the park. It's not only that you didn't knock it out of the park. It is that you didn't take care of me to even try to make me come. You assume that I don't need to because I'm a female. You assume that 2 minutes or 10 minutes is amazing because you got off. You assume that because I'm there and having sex with you and you enjoy just sticking your penis in me, that I enjoy just your penis being in me. There's a lot of level. If I'm not giving you a second chance, it's not just because you didn't knock it out of the park. It is because you did not even respect the fact that I am a separate human being than you and didn't even give it a go.
I'm not saying that's not the case, but I think what happens more often than not, a guy just doesn't have enough experience. And so when he gets in somebody's vagina, he's so elated that he has no idea what the next step is. And so his mom
should teach him that.
Well, I agree. I mean, who knows better than your mom? She's been fucking. So, like,
at least once.
Maybe the neighbor.
Probably more than that.
Maybe ask the neighbor's mom instead.
Somebody's mom should tell you. I mean, I don't, you know, so it's such an counterintuitive thing where you get guys that just really don't understand. You know, one of the things that I say over and over again, great sex comes from being present.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're present and you're reading the signals, all of those things, you would see those things. Or if you don't see them, they would create kind of an obstacle, a bump in the road where you go, well, what is this? Where you would question this. But you have guys.
How do you stay present and think about baseball?
Well, I don't know. I don't have that problem.
I had to stop because I love baseball.
Do you really have that thing where you don't have to think about other shit?
First of all, Dante,
he's 40. He's in his 40s. He's trying to focus
to stay in.
That's a shitty way of asking that question because you're basically going, Keith, you can last long, right? And Keith is like, yeah, of course, sure, every time. Yeah. And you're like, I don't have that problem. You don't either, right? Gross.
Yeah, that was right. That was kind of
funny. No, I have to give these women potassium pills. I keep going so much. Have a banana. Yeah,
I just spray a Gatorade bottle in their face. Right. Come on. Let's just...
You know what's funny is every time I'm in the room with one or more men, they're always the best at sex. You both last forever.
Yeah, but I do.
And are all wonderful.
Right, let's keep going, Keith.
So what are the five bricks?
So the five bricks. Well, okay. So first, let me explain where the terminology came from. Okay.
It was She's a brick.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Well, it's kind of like, I think our generation is so into the why of things. Why this? Why that? Why do I feel this way? Which I'm not against that, because I think you need to but there comes a time where the why is not as important as the doing. So initially, the analogy was, look, if I go outside and I lay five bricks every day, at the end of the year, what will I have? I'll have a huge wall.
Oh, no, I don't like where this is going.
Not
already.
A Trump wall, but a wall. No. And the wall itself doesn't care whether I liked doing masonry. It doesn't, right. it just happens. So a lot of times the point, it's not going where you think it is.
Yeah. I just changed my mind. Yeah. I should shut the fuck up. Yeah. Okay. So, be a better bitch, me.
So it's literally doing is a lot more important than understanding why you don't do. Mm-hmm. So
I similarly say that when I life coach, I'm not kidding. Right. I say, you know, if you actually do two things for your career or for your goal every day, then at the end of the week, you have 14, right? Right. Faceboy actually taught me that. And it is the two dumb things, like you made a phone call, right. You answered that email that you were afraid to do, all of a sudden you're closer to your goal.
But I've had people go, you know, I just don't know what is the thing that stops me from doing the thing that I need to do. Okay. And it's just shut up and make the phone call. So laying the five brick, that's where it initially came from. Now, not only if you have this huge brick wall at the end of the year, but the bricks at the top will be better than the bricks at the bottom, simply because through repetition you get better at doing something. It doesn't, even if you don't want
wall,
to.
Scary wall, though. The bricks on the bottom are less.
Yeah, but I mean, as long as you got enough mortar there, you're all right. But the thing is to do and to stop talking about doing. So that's where it initially came from. So. But then it kind of transformed into this thing where go out and talk to five women a day. Don't be rude. You're not got great tits. Could be, wow, that's a really attractive dress. I love the color of the dress. I love your eyes.
Looking good.
Exactly. I love that's a really nice purse. You're well put together. This, that. Just not rude, not even sexual, just to talk. And the repetition of that is kind of like with stand-up. It's getting on stage until you don't have the stage fright.
Now, I agree with you. If I may just cut you off for a second, I believe that the specifically the men that are calling you that are having issues with this kind of thing, to me, I would get nervous telling them specifically, go talk to women, and then giving them the list of physical attributes to talk to them about.
I automatically say, don't.
Because to me, I say, don't tell them how they look. Don't talk about their dresses. What you want to do to me is whatever you would say to a dude on the street or to talk to them. And I know that obviously it's different because you're not attracted to dudes and whatever. This will help you cut a conversation, because the way that you would approach Keith on the street is the way that I would want you to approach me. Why? Because you wouldn't say to Keith, hey, your belt looks really good with your pants. Now he has to think about where you were looking, you know?
Yeah, but you would say, I've said to a guy, yeah, that's awesome button down.
Yes.
I would say that.
Because you are on the top bricks, right? So the lower bricks, I would say, hey, you know, where is so-and-so? Even, like I would say in a supermarket, how do you check for watermelon? That
well,
kind of thing.
Well, not... Listen,
do you know what I mean? Because yes, they're so bad at talking to women.
Yeah, but what we're saying is there's also the fear element. So they're usually not going to go in. The anxiety, the approach anxiety is already there. So you're not going to get this outrageous. You're just not, because there's already the fear element with that group of guys anyway.
You're saying keep it simple. Those heels really lift your ass.
Well, those are a great pair of shoes. I love those shoes. Your hair looks amazing. Your makeup is impeccable.
And when people try this and they come back, and do they tell you the responses that people get?
Yeah, they get. I mean, what the problem is that most of these guys feel as though it's going to be this tragic response. And it's not, because women are really not that nasty. It's like there's this whole persona as if women are going to just, if it's something that's just relevant, and they'll go, thank you, and move on.
I agree. I've had people compliment me on the street and I go, wow, thank you. And they actually uplift my mood today. And it was a woman today, but she was like, I don't remember. I love your dress or something like that. And I was like, oh my God, I feel so much cooler because she looked cool. And she said, I'm cool. But there was no vibe there. So obviously you can't go, nice dress.
No, but you're not going to get that from the anywhere, because they're not even there yet.
Okay.
Do you understand? And I'm not saying to them to talk to just these women who they like. I'm saying
talk to ugly ones too.
Everybody.
Right.
The lady that's bagging your groceries, the old lady at the check cashing place, the everybody. Yes.
I agree. So let's say you wanted like the job that would match you perfectly. You're scared to start with that. Go on other job, not auditions. I always want to say auditions. But
interviews.
I used to do that when I was auditioning for singing parts. I would absolutely go to everything that matched my something that I can get into, because even if I wasn't interested in the project,
it's the experience of going through,
because auditioning is crazy. Yeah. So I feel like when a guy talks to a girl or vice versa, or everybody talks to everybody, it's an audition process, and the more you do it.
And I also tell a guy to approach, to lay bricks with a guy, if there's a guy in an elevator. To, hey, this suit looks great on you. This, that, and the other way. Because then it's not creepy, because it becomes who you are. It becomes this, you become this kind.
So a personable person.
You can't teach somebody anything when there's this anxiety element, because you have to get past the anxiety. So
by the way, before I compliment any woman, I make sure that she hears me complimenting a man first.
You know what? Appreciated. Yeah. That's kind of nice.
But you know,
I come into a party, I kiss all the dudes right away. And I'm like, I'm coming for you next, ladies.
Slip the tongue.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny about that. It's because even if you are touchy, like if you're a touchy guy,
right,
but you're only touchy with the women, then it's creepy. Mm-hmm. But if you come and shake a guy's hand and you hug the guy, then the woman will go, oh, this is just who he is.
They almost get jealous.
Yeah.
When's it mommy's turn?
They could be. Yeah.
You know
what?
That's Keith's way of negging women. He does it to the men first, and then he sees everybody frothing, obviously. So let's say now you've talked to five people.
So it's five people a day.
For how
every
long?
Day for 8 weeks.
Okay.
So that's two.
What made you come up with 8 weeks?
Well, because it's such a large amount of, it's like 285 women.
Okay.
So a pimp wouldn't talk to 285 women. So it's just the magnitude of that you actually, it becomes this routine, right, where they get out of their head.
Do you do rollover chicks? If I talk to 10 women a day, can I take the next day off?
Good question.
No.
Okay.
Hmm.
Because then
dudes don't count?
I've never thought of that.
Okay.
I say women because women is the
goal.
Moment of fear. That's where the anxiety comes. But I say to do it with it. And then whenever a guy tells me, well, can I do 10 today? And then, look, I don't like the, you're already trying to cut the game. Like, stop trying to cut the, if you should be doing 10 a day. You should be doing it every chance you get. I'm giving you this is the low bar, the minimum. So you're trying to figure out how you could not do. If you're trying to figure out how not to do it, then just don't do it. Wait, don't waste your money. Don't call me and stay in your miserable life.
Now, let me ask you,
you're a piece of shit, made up person.
Am I allowed to call you before I did the 8 weeks?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You can call me. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you got to pay for my time, so you can call me whenever you want.
Okay.
But I mean, I would not. I don't want anybody to call me until they've done at least 3 weeks.
Okay.
Because it's just not enough to. And 90% of the times when a guy calls me back, nobody's ever done it completely. That 5 a week. Anybody that's ever done. There's one guy I know that did it 5 a day every day. And he had it was just, things were just dropping for him like crazy.
You mean panties?
Yeah, like he was getting laid by accident. like literally by accident. Like he would just be laying the five bricks and then he would say, wow, I really like your hair. And she'd go, well, you have a nice smile too. And then the girl, now that pink ball is hit back over the fence and he goes, well, thank you.
Okay.
And then, you know, because you are talking about 285 women.
But he's so busy, he lost his job, his house is falling apart.
Well, I don't say you have to be in a club. It could be a bar, a supermarket, it could be the subway, it could be, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether she's attractive, she's not attractive, she could be 90 years old. It doesn't matter, just so long as you're talking and you're getting
idea. What happens next?
Then after that, then what happens? What happens usually if they do the whole 8 weeks, there's usually what happens is they start to see patterns. They start to see patterns of what works and what doesn't work. And then what I'll do is I'll ask them questions about, well, did you have any encounters that escalated to something more? And 90% of the time they'll have a situation where this girl, and then they'll even start to get mad the fact that they said something, the girl responded back, and then they kind of just kept going, like didn't pursue it. Mm-hmm. And they'll start to see these opportunities, right? And so
who's getting mad?
The guys who are doing the 8 weeks, mm-hmm. they'll start to see opportunities that they didn't take.
In hindsight,
because what happens is now it's just like anything, through the repetition. Now you start to see the patterns.
Now, did anyone have a really hard time with it? Where it's like, I've tried so many different approaches, I don't know how to do it. Women are hating when I come up to them.
No.
Okay.
I've had guys try to escalate and then not. Okay, so then they got the number with a girl. Didn't call him back. So they got a number and the girl didn't call him back.
Well, those are your odds, right?
Right. Well, it depends. So then they'll say, well, I get these. I'm able to get. So they'll go, okay, so I'm doing laying the five bricks. And then I'll get a girl's number and then she won't even call me back. Or I'll text her. She'll text me back. And then I'll text her back. And then I'll never hear from her again.
Okay. So there's your next problem.
The
right?
next step. So, right.
What
so
happens?
So what usually happens if the girl is not calling you back is because you're not interesting. Mm-hmm.
How can you make someone interesting?
Send them a letter, old school letter.
What makes you interesting is, so one of the things that I say, so here's what's interesting about this. When you talk about peacocking and stuff like that, and don't get me wrong, I don't take anything away from the pickup artists and stuff like
that. I do.
Those are, they're techniques that work.
No, they're techniques that manipulate people out of their clothing, money, out of their true selves. And I would like to think that that's not what you're trying
absolutely.
To do.
Absolutely. So, but those techniques are, they're valid techniques.
If and it's getting wet, it's getting wet.
Right.
What else is a valid technique from the history, from the past? You club them on the head and then you pull them by their hair.
Sure. But
it's valid.
That's week 16. This one's jumping ahead.
Listen, we can't do that anymore. I know we have a couple cases that we're working on that. No, but the point is, what real game is no game. You have to be the person that you want to be. So what happens more often than not, people have this ideal self of who they perceive themselves as, but they're never working to be that person. So, you know, what I would say to a guy, I go, so next thing I would say, well, what, whatever's broke, fix it. So if you go, well, you know, I'll ask a guy, well, what kind of guy are you? Well, I'm funny, but I'm kind of shy. But I'm not really outgoing. So you're already kind of telling me what you already know what your limitations are. You're telling me what your limitations are. So I would have a guy, I've invited guys, and they get kind of down, like they're afraid. Like you have some guys who are just not physically, they're not physically prowess and they're afraid. And I go, well, take a martial arts class. You're not going to be a badass, but why shouldn't you know how to handle yourself? Why should you be walking around in fear? And if you are walking in fear, then who wants to live like that?
I agree with you in the sense that if you find yourself physically unattractive in whatever way, because climbing the stairs, you're losing your air, your breath, you know, right. or because you can't keep up with a certain lifestyle that you're interested in.
Right.
I say you do make that change because it is the inside that counts. But if you're not attracted to yourself,
you're not going
to
be
well for sure.
Right.
You have to love. You have to want to like videotape yourself and never want to watch it because you're a realistic person. But you have to, during sex, you have to think, wow, I'm fucking hot.
Right.
A little bit, right?
And if you don't,
I'm not going to be attracted to you if you don't think that.
If you don't like yourself, so you have to do things to like yourself. I had a guy who took, he took salsa lessons and got really good at salsa where he was actually doing competitions and stuff. And
wow.
It was just, you know, but
it was in him somewhere.
Yeah. And so like what happens more over than not, guys have a tendency not to, to explore these things. It's like,
but they expect it in the woman that they're dating, which is what on my side of it really frustrates me.
For example,
they're not happy with their physical selves, right?
Sure.
But their expectation a lot of time is for the woman to be on a certain level of physical appearance, meaning like bodies should be tight and, you know, things will be in a certain place. It's interesting to me that somebody that could not care about their appearance or is very lax about their appearance, but needs for their spouse or their mate to be on point with everything.
Yeah, but here's, you have to take that into consideration. The reason why that is important to men and it's important to women is because we set the criteria for each other. See, if
that's totally
if
fine.
If women, what
your
I'm saying,
criteria could be that it just has to be that for yourself as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it should be. I don't disagree with that, but I'm saying if you look, there's a Joe DeRosa had a joke that years ago he'd go, look, every time I try to. I go to work out. I want to get myself together. He says, could you stop fucking me, please? Because every time you fuck me, I go, I'm fine. So the thing is, if I'm getting in shape because I want to be attractive to women, but you're still fucking me, then maybe I'm not so bad in the first place. So what I'm saying is, there is women don't necessarily hook up with a guy specifically for looks. If a guy is a great looking guy, but he's not a caretaker and doesn't keep you safe and whatever, then he's not. How long are you going to hook up with this guy?
Oh, totally. It's not your list. Like that's your list. And you're saying who would hook up with that? My list is different than yours. Of course, you might need to be this kind of good looking and you might need to protect me in this way. But my list is going to be different. It's just interesting. It's like you said, if on your list you are a caretaker and a protector,
right,
but you don't believe that you are a caretaker or protector, what are the steps you're going to take? Because you're not going to find yourself attracted to yourself, and that's going to come off.
Well, here's what's fun. I've more often than not, I find guys who are caretakers who do take care of everything, and they're still being disrespected by their wives or something. I've had guys who are married, they pay for everything, they do everything. I just did a consultation yesterday with a guy but the girl, she was in an abusive relationship with her last ex, a physically abusive relationship.
By the way, all that clickety clacking is his ring.
My ring. and so. I go, so he tells me what this is. She doesn't, you know, she works, but her work is for her shopping. She has two kids of her own. He has two kids of his own. They have one together. He's taking care of her kids. He's taking care of his kids. And so he's calling me up because she's just disrespectful. So
can I ask you though?
Yeah.
I understand that. And I understand the disrespect in that. My fear is that he set himself up for that.
Absolutely.
And what he was doing was selling his caretaking on this. She bought it, and then he was like, oh, I didn't sell it at the right price. But he's probably, and I'm sorry, not as interesting as a different person would be. Not as...
You're making assumptions that you can't make.
But I'll tell you why I'm making these assumptions. Because I don't know that she just walked in and said, you're going to be taking care of this, you're going to be taking care of that. I think he sold that. And now...
absolutely did. So and then, that's my advice to him was like, listen, if you're doing all of these things and you're not getting the respect that you should get, then you should stop doing it. Like, if you're going to do all of these things and then she owes you no respect at all and she can just do whatever she wants, then all you have, you've just, nobody appreciates something that they don't have to work for.
What has he tried before he got in touch with
you? He's had conversations with her.
And how do they end?
Where it just ends up happening again.
What, does she promise that it'll change?
Sure.
So she'll promise that it'll change, and then he gets no respect anyway.
You know, it might happen for a little while and it goes back again. Okay. But the problem, here's what the problem is. Having the discussion, look, I'm not against having the discussion, but the second time I have the discussion, then there's going to be a physical adjustment on my part.
Okay.
You're going to punch them.
Well, I'm just not going to be available. Like, so the stuff that you, so I had a guy who, was 53 years old, 53 year old dude, married to his wife, built the house of her dreams. And they were in, like, she was talking about how he was yelling all the time, and but she also, she hadn't worked in 15 years. She took care of the kids, went to yoga class, picked up, took care of the house.
So she did work in 15 years.
Not really, because he did the same thing. And there's always this, he takes care of the kids. He takes them to the, dance class, he does this, he cooks, he does all the same things that she does. It really was an unfair situation. And if it wasn't an unfair situation, because here, let's be honest, I don't want from a woman what I give her. I don't need her to give me, but what I need from her is what I need from her.
Okay.
And so, ultimately, she was like, she said she wanted to go to therapy. They went to therapy. She picked the therapist, right? They went to therapy, and the first day they went to therapy, she told the therapist she wanted a divorce.
Okay.
So there's a, and I said to him, listen, first of all, if you
stop going to therapy.
Stop going to therapy. I don't know why you would go to therapy, because if this woman says, if she's ready to throw the D, there's a certain level of disrespect she has to have about this guy in order to throw the D word in it the first. I mean, the whole point of going to therapy is to try and fix it. And then that's where you go. Even if she didn't mean that. So he called me up and he asked me, what should I do? And I said, give her the divorce.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Immediately.
Is she saying, okay, have you ever been married?
Yeah.
Okay. So how long did it take you to divorce?
I was divorced about it took me 3 years after we split to divorce. Yeah.
I feel like, first of all, if you're throwing that divorce word, that I'm taking that shit seriously.
Sure.
That's fucking intense. I wonder how many times she's mentioned that and how many times he's...
Well, this was the first time she mentioned
it. Okay. Now, why... So, and then it went... That's how she started, and then they're going to work it out? She says, well, I want a divorce, but I want to work
I'll
it out?
I'll give you an example. First time he tried to talk to me, he was like, you know, he goes, I know you do the show and you give guys advice. He goes, here's what my situation is. He was a dude, he would get a family vacation. Like, they went to Turkey, they went to France, they went to Spain. Like, he would get this whole family thing together and they would all go.
When you hear something like this, do you jack up your prices?
No, usually they were already paid by the time. So I go, he goes, but every time we go, we're always late. And then I'm yelling because I've set this whole thing up. Everything is laid out. And she just is not ready. It's just, and I go, yeah, but there's a level of disrespect that she's not disrespecting your time. She's disrespecting your time and the effort that you're putting and all this together because she doesn't have to respect it. So he goes, he says, they had a trip. They were going to Miami. It was just him and her this time. It wasn't a family. And they're going, I said, well, the next time she's late, let her be late.
What does that mean?
So they went to they were kind of late, but they were kind of just on time. So they're walking to the gate and she goes, I'm hungry. And he goes, well, are you hungry? Get something to eat. She goes, well, I want a Cinnabon. He goes, well, get a Cinnabon. And he goes, you want to sit down and eat it? She goes, yeah, I want to sit down and eat it. So she gets the Cinnabon. So he's not, I told him, stop arguing, stop yelling. He gets the Cinnabon. She eats it. They go to the gate. They get to the gate. There's nobody there. Right?
Holy shit.
So he goes, he's like, now for me, what I would have done is I would have said, okay, we missed. So now he had a limousine to pick them up, this whole romantic thing. They had a special. So then they had to switch the limousine. They had to book another hotel for 2 days to get to.
The fuck could he just have, could he, and this might be interrupting what you're teaching. Could he say, we can get a Cinnabon, but we will miss this plane, and then let her make the decision?
No.
No.
Because this is why he's yelling in the first place. Because he's done that conversation and she's ignoring it. And so that's why it's escalating. So now he's a maniac because he's yelling because he's laid out all this money for limousines and stuff, and she doesn't care because she's gotten used to it and she's taking it for granted.
Okay, so now who's making the phone calls to change the limousine shit? He still has to deal with it?
Sure.
Damn.
Now, what I told him was after she's late, see, I come home and we sit and watch each other, look at each other in the house for 7 days.
Really?
That's what I do.
However,
he rebooked and stuff. And so
how does that teach her a lesson?
Because now she had to deal with it too. You had to slub everything over. She knew all the stuff that was, she just didn't care. So he goes, well, I hope you enjoyed the Cinnabon. And then they had to wait. They had to stay in the airport for 12 hours, rebook, right? Then they got there late. They got there the next day. They had to go to another hotel. They spent 2 days in a hotel. Then they had to schlub everything from the hotel to the original hotel. And I said to him, why not just go home? Because I'm going to be so worked up about this. I'm not going to enjoy it. It's going to take me 3 days to get this stink off me. So I'm going to go home. He says, yeah, but then I would have lost the flight. And I go, yeah, you'd have lost $1,000. But how much did you spend for the overall vacation? Like $6,000. So you'd have lost $1,000 for the stuff that you booked and canceled, but you'd have gained $5,000. See, I would have took the $5,000 and got a new bike, right? Or got 2 pairs of shoes or something like that. I got some alligator shoes. But I'm not going to do this where I've gone out of my way and then you don't respect. What happened was after that incident, she was never late again.
Shut the fuck up.
Never late again. When they had anything that they had, she was, because he didn't bitch about it. He just let her sit with this whole mess.
I'll tell you what I do. And I noticed this. I paid attention to it once I heard somebody talk in Al-Anon, and they were qualifying, meaning like they were the speaker of that day. They spoke for 20 minutes. And part of their qualification was that they were having, they just went for a run or something. They come back and they know they have to leave for that meeting in like an hour, but their girlfriend goes, hey, want to have coffee with me this morning? And they go, yeah, of course. And so now they're sitting and having coffee, and then that made them late. Mm. So all of a sudden they're late and they go, God damn it, my girlfriend made me late again. And I go, oh my God, I do that. I do that because I want to have a nice time.
Right.
And my husband's like, hey, we can have coffee. And so I'm like, yeah, time doesn't exist, sure.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I'm late, and I have been blaming him for being late so often, and he doesn't care either. He's a late person too. Right. But so it's so easy to blame him and go like, well, he doesn't pay attention to time, and but he's not the one who has to go to work at the time in 20 minutes or whatever, or he'll be late too, and I don't have to deal with that. I have to deal with my own lateness.
Right.
So I did pick up on that. That doesn't mean that I'm not late anymore,
This is why you're a unicorn.
I'm not a unicorn.
This is why you're a unicorn.
There are two people behind you. One was assigned female or birth.
There's a herd of unicorns in here. But I'm telling you,
you can't say unicorn anymore.
Is.
No.
People don't think like that. People don't think.
You can't just say that.
It's true. People do not give a fuck about other people.
Well, I'm going to talk, but you can't. You can't let me do that to the people who call you, or to men in general, and I can't let you do that to females in general.
I'm not saying females in general. I'm saying people in general.
Are they considerate? Don't
give a, are not considerate. Fuck no. Most people are selfish.
People are selfish.
There's a certain level of maturity that you have to have to not be a level
Agreed.
Of empathy.
Agreed.
I mean, this is why we have what we have in the White House. It's just like, it's just, there's a lack of empathy.
You can't even tell chicks nowadays they're good people. What is happening
here? I don't know. These broads, they don't.
Well, okay, I've thought about this because I've thought about the multiple interactions that I've had with you. And you and I actually really love coming on your show. And I love when you're here because we butt heads, and I can see and I can feel that you're genuinely listening to me. And so when we don't agree on something, I love it.
Right.
So one of the things was that I'm a unicorn, and I have been thinking about it. And one of the things that I like that you say is that you have to level up and then expect everybody to come to you. Is that right? Like, don't let her disrespect you. You act like a respectful person.
Actually, absolutely.
So I've thought about this really. And I said, next time I see him, I have to remember this. And I'm really glad that I'm remembering it now. So I would hope that you would act like everybody is how you see me. and you teach that everybody is like me in a way so that they level up to you.
I tell them that they have to level up. I tell them that their credibility is the most important thing, that they need to be honest, that they need to be forthright, that you can't bitch about somebody being late if you're late.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, all of those things are important because how do you say that when any real with any truth if you're not practicing it yourself? Because if you're lying to other people, you're lying, you're waiting to be exposed. And so there's this defensiveness because you don't want to be exposed. The problem is, don't be exposed. So here's, so she never, he created the situation, she never was late again. But what I was trying to tell him is that you need to create these, his relationships are very simple to me. Very simple. I think people overcomplicate them. The problem is people are afraid and they're insecure. You decide what your non-negotiables are and then don't negotiate them.
What are your non-negotiables?
I'm not going to have somebody disrespect me. I want somebody to appreciate the things that I do. I want somebody to be honest with me, and I want them to give me the love and concern that I give them.
That seems like reasonable. Everybody's...
Right. But yeah. you can't always, I mean, people don't do that. If I'm not late, don't be late.
Now, is it a non-negotiable if people are going to be late to you? Like, can you date someone who's a late? I'm going to talk about 5 to 15 minutes.
Here's the thing. Anything could happen.
No, all the time. 5 to 15 minutes late.
No, we're not.
No,
I'm not.
You're just not dating that person.
There's a lack. It's a lack of respect.
I personally would, because I don't see it as a lack of respect. I see it as somebody else's personal problems, because I am a late person, and it's never personal to that other person, although it is, and it's very disrespectful. It's not to you. And I get that you wouldn't date me because of that, and I completely respect it.
But here's what I would say to you.
I think I agree with you that you shouldn't date me.
Keith goes, Kem, to get here, I got $1 million bag of money for you, $1 million. You gonna be late?
She would not be late.
Exactly.
She would so not be late for that.
The point is, we decide what we want to be late. We decide what is priority. So if this is something that's a stickler for me, then make the adjustment. Because what's a stickler for you, I'm going to make the adjustments. If I love you, I'm going to make those adjustments. If it doesn't mean, if it's not one of my non-negotiables, I'm going to make it. So
I guess to me, it's just not a non-negotiable. And I think that is a personality thing. But now we're going to get to the bottom of this. Okay. I'm going to ask you for advice for Keith. Should he get divorced? Here's the question.
Okay.
Cabinet doors.
Okay. Cabinet doors.
You're living with someone.
Yeah.
They open a cabinet door. They leave it open. They open another cabinet door. They do their thing. They finish with their stuff. They leave the cabinet door. They leave the room. You, over and over again, said, hey, this is what I consider disrespect. When you leave the cabinet door open, I know that you think Keith hates when I don't close the cabinet door.
Right.
And so in Keith's mind, you are absolutely every time he sees it open, it's a disrespect. Now, of course it is, but I've met his wife, and that's something that I would deal with. Because she's so wonderful. And I think we need to take that into account. She's so wonderful. Can we have... You don't think that she's negotiating anything for Keith that is getting on her last nerve?
I'm quite sure she is. Okay. But the point is that he's speaking up and he's saying this is non-negotiable.
What should he do?
What does non-negotiable mean?
That's the thing.
This is here's what's interesting.
I know this is a tough
about it's not.
It's not
really. Okay, so let me go back to I don't know how you fall on the whole Kaepernick thing, right?
I'm on his side.
Okay. All right. Okay, so here's the thing but here's what I learned from Kaepernick.
He could take some more training. I mean,
not his quarterback stuff.
I mean, this isn't Tom Brady taking
right,
a knee.
Right,
this is
right.
A jerk off that's the worst team in football.
But here's what I'm saying.
Kaepernick in what? Taking a knee?
Yeah, taking a knee.
Okay.
Well, he was sitting down first.
Right.
He started taking a knee because he spoke to a vet, and their vet said it would be more respectful if you took a knee.
Okay. So, now, this is the person who took a knee or sat down when as a football player when the Star Spangled Banner was playing.
Right, because of Black Lives Matter, whatever. Okay. So here's what happened. Prior to that, LeBron and Carmelo and KD were on the ESPY Awards and they wore black suits. Did you see that when they wore the black suits?
No, but I follow.
Okay. So he wore the black suits as if to say, talk to support Black Lives Matter. Nothing happened, right? Then there was a guy who made a speech at the Academy Awards about Black Lives Matter, and there was a whole big thing about who's this guy, he makes $19 million, shut the fuck up, whatever, right? So what's interesting about how the Kaepernick thing became such a big thing was because he didn't talk to people who didn't want to listen. All he did was take an action. So the Star Spangled Banner rang out. He sat down. Now, he had sat down several times. Nobody caught it. But when they did catch it, somebody said, hey, this guy's sitting down doing the Star Spangled Banner. How dare he? And then he go, well, oh, yeah. Did he sit down? So it became this big thing. So finally, when they asked him, why are you sitting down for the Star Spangled Banner? He had every media outlet possible there when he gave his speech. Right. So this is the part that I learned from. If you lead with action, you can, if you get, so the thing I say is make ultimate decisions, don't give ultimatums.
Okay.
Meaning lead with action. You spoke about that this bothers you. She's not respecting that. She doesn't give a fuck.
Right.
Right. So there has to be a consequence. There has to be an action. Because of it, there needs to be an adjustment.
Like a spanking.
Take away her dinner.
Could be a spanking.
No blue apron today.
That's what you know what I would do? I would remove all the cabinet doors.
Oh my God.
That's what I would do.
That's so passive aggressive.
It doesn't matter. What's passive aggressive is that I've spoke to you and asked you to do something and I said, and you don't want to do it. So now I would take all of the, when she's out of the house, I would take all the cabinet doors off.
Question. Yeah. Are you concerned that instead of de-escalating something, you are escalating a doesn't married
matter.
Couple.
It doesn't matter. Because okay. Here's why. She's escalating it. And she doesn't give a fuck. So.
But in a marriage, could that mean
doesn't
pettiness
matter.
That leads to.
Doesn't matter. The point is, I'm saying to you, this hurts me. This goes to the core of who I am. Could you please fucking close the cabinets?
Is there an now, alternative to taking it off? Because he's so not good with a screwdriver. He's literally the worst.
Hire somebody.
You
got, anybody out there got is good with a screwdriver and got a couple batteries with some
comment. Hey, Richie Tolle.
And I remove all the cabinets.
Keith.
And then I take the cabinets and I put them in storage.
Oh my God. So now he has to get storage. Good luck. Now Keith has to call people and do shit. Okay, Keith. What do you think of this? You're on a phone call. You paid for this. Dante's giving you advice. I understand where you're coming from because you did give a lot of warning. You talked about it on the show, for fuck's sake. We had her on the show. We confronted her together. Everything. Everybody did it. Forums is talking about it. This is your one thing. I wouldn't be surprised if she called in like enough already, but she's probably on a plane somewhere that you don't know where to. So what do you say to this?
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. Then what do I do? Let's say... The other thing that I find disrespectful is clean towels being on the floor. I don't understand it. Do I now have to throw out all the towels?
No, I would take the towels and just put paper towels in. Let her throw paper towels on the floor.
For after you shower. Yeah. But then that means his 6'2" body has to...
You can have a towel.
I have my own towel. Towel. Like I'm
camping. But here's what I'm saying. Just if you... And I'm not... Don't do it out of anger. It's not out of anger. It's like, okay... You don't want to close these cabinets? Okay, here's my move. Now there's no cabinets. So now when she comes in, she goes, where's the fuck is the cabinets?
Okay.
And you go, I asked you to close them, so I took them all.
Okay, and I'm supposed to go, okay, you're not insane, and I'm going to keep sleeping with you.
I don't care if you say I'm insane. I'm not angry, and I'll say, you want to go to dinner? Let's go to dinner. Want to go to the movie? And we, so.
I get it. Can I, sure. what if she, because that's not the end of the conversation, and you know it. What if I'm Keith's wife? Oh my God. And then I go, okay, put him back on.
No.
Okay, I can't even look at you right now. You are.
That's fine.
A disgusting human being.
You don't have to.
Okay.
I would say it's disgusting that I've told you several times how much this hurts me.
So now we don't get cabinet doors.
Then we don't have cabinet doors.
Okay, Keith.
I do like it.
Are you going to do it?
No, I should cut off my dick. But I think it's a great idea.
Because
But he's not going to take the action. What do you do?
If he's not going to take the action, then he has to live with these cabinet doors being open like that.
And he can't get mad?
No, he can't get mad. If you take the action... And there's no cabinet doors. He doesn't have to worry about the cabinet doors being over.
I think there's an alternative. I do agree with you. Can he do this? Get over it. And I wouldn't say this to him or a lot of people. And I don't even know if I agree with it myself. But would you agree that there are some things that will grate your nerves about your partner that you might have to get over, even though you're right? just so that this is a different human being.
Yes, yes. But what are we talking about? You got to say, he's already deciding that this is non-negotiable. Like, he's decided this. If you're talking about it on the radio, he's talked about it, he said it to her 7 times. It's on the forums. It's non-negotiable.
Right. You're saying that there are other things that he is negotiating with. And
sure.
We're not
they
hearing
both
him.
Are. Okay. But you're not hearing him and you're being disrespectful because it's not important to you. And why would you do that to somebody that you love? When all you got to do is close the fucking cabinet. Like, what are we really asking? What is he asking? Is it unreasonable for him to ask to close the fucking cabinet? It's not like he hasn't screamed about it enough and bitched about it enough that she doesn't open the cabinet and think about him. She's leaving it open because she knows she can and she's being defiant about it. And she doesn't give a fuck how it affects him. And how do you have a marriage when people don't give a fuck about each other?
Okay, and I agree with you, and it's true, and Keith has said that before, like, if I scream about this much, she must be thinking when I open, how am I looking at this person who's such a care, I mean, this person is such a caring, wonderful human
but
being.
But not caring enough to close a cabinet.
I get it. I don't know if I think that, like, see, I every time I start thinking about it, I come to the same agreement as you, because in my house, it is whoever cares more about the thing tries to make the adjustment.
Right.
So in his house, I think it's like that too, like as it is with everybody.
If he's still married, but, that's what it is.
Right.
Because it doesn't work if you don't do that.
But there are some things like this that you come to a head with and it's not changing. And that would suck if that would
her,
be like...
Her leaving the cabinets open doesn't matter to her. Her not closing them matter to him. So this is just selfish. I don't care how great a woman she is. She's being selfish. And that needs to be called out. So I'll give you an example. Here's a more extreme, more extreme situation. I had a girl who would come over to my house. She could come over to my house, stay at my house. She takes pussy soap. Whatever is it? What is pussy? Summer's Eve.
Douche.
Not douche, but...
I'm like, there's pussy soap? I better get on this.
And, you know,
oh my God.
And, you know...
Okay.
Feminine wash, right? Mm-hmm. And she puts it in my linen closet, in the middle of my closet.
What do you mean?
Like, she just in the middle of the linen closet.
She puts it away, or
she puts it in the linen closet. She buys it, but it's really, I'm putting this here. I know what she's putting it there. She's putting it there. She's pissing on the it's pissing in the corners, showing claim, right? Okay. So I saw it there. It didn't bother me, right? But I had to get something, so I kind of moved it to the side. Mm-hmm. She came to my house and she goes in the bathroom. She checks to fucking where the soap is. She goes, "You moved my soap."
Oh.
And she goes, "What bitch was you fucking in here?"
Whoa.
And I go,
so you're pretty open about
it. Right. And I go, "Get the fuck out of my house."
Whoa.
Get the fuck out of my house is what I say. Now,
that's what you said.
I said, because here's what's going to happen.
Did she say what other bitch? Did she phrase it like that?
Yeah. She said, "What bitch was fucking in here?" And I said, "Get the fuck out of my house." Because here's where this is going to go. I go, "What's wrong with you?" And she goes, "I put the soap there. You hid the soap because of some bitch was in here." And then I go, "That's not true. I didn't. That's not true. I just moved it to the side." And then she goes, "Yes, you did. You moved it here. Blah, 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 blah." And then I go, "That's just not true. But this is my home. And this is my cabinet. You don't pay the rent here. You don't have anything. How dare you do this?" And then she goes, Well, "I'm not going to have this. You're not going to treat me like this with this, fucking these other people, blah, 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 whatever." And then I'm going to go, "Listen, it's not your fucking house." See, now, I know where this conversation is going to go. The last thing I'm going to say is, "Get the fuck out my house." So I skipped the whole, I went right to the end, because this is where I know it's going. Get the fuck out my house.
What was her response?
And then I go, "And all of your shit that's here, get all your shit. Put it in the garbage.
Leave the pussy soap. That's on my shelf."
No, she take that too.
Okay.
"If you got to go to the gas station, wash your pussy at a gas station, wrap it in plastic. You got to wash it before you come here. You got to put it in a bag, bring it here, wash it when you come here, and then put it back in your bag. And your lingerie, your shoes, your jacket, get all your shit." Put it in the garbage bag.
Did you say all that?
Yes.
Okay.
Get the fuck out my house.
And what is she doing as
she's like, why do you have to go from 0 to 100 so quick? Because I know where this is going. But I'm a problem solver. You see, the pussy soap created a problem. Now I'm going to fix the problem. Now, everything else that you have, take that too.
I think a similar situation, you tell me. When Hennessy and I were first dating, you know, when you're first dating someone, you don't know if you're going to sleep over or right. you're going to whatever. So you got none of your shit there.
Right.
Once you fuck a couple times, you're like, I need a toothbrush. This is gross to me.
Right.
And I need my hair schmutz. Those are my two, I guess, right. negotiable, whatever. So one day I go, first of all, I left my toothbrush. You have to deal with that. I'm fucking you. I gotta brush my teeth at some point. The second one, I'm dropping him off one night and I go, this is my hair schmutz. I don't care where you put it, but if we're going to be doing this, I need it in the morning or whatever. Go for it.
Right.
And he agreed. And in my head, that was me. If you, because I know that that's a thing to people. Right. I'm not trying to claim anything.
Right, right, right.
You can fuck whoever you want. Just when you fuck me, I'm going to need to do my hair out.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely. Which is not reasonable.
I don't care.
It's not unreasonable.
Hide it in the back of your closet so that it doesn't seem weird.
Put it in the bottom drawer. When I need it, I'll you know where my hair's supposed to? Oh, totally. Here it is.
And to me, if he would have said, that's too much of a commitment, I would have been like, then I guess we're only fucking somewhere. I'm not going to fuck you at your house. If it's good enough, and it was, I'll fuck you somewhere else. Like, I'll do it anywhere else where I won't need to put schmutz in my hair. But that toothbrush, you know? I mean, I know that you can also carry a toothbrush or whatever, but at some point, the respect to me is, let's not pretend we're not doing this when I need to brush my teeth.
And that's reasonable to do so. It's like, when she put the pussy soap in there, I didn't go get it out of here. All I did was move it to the left. But see, her intention in the first place wasn't just to put the pussy soap. It's not like I just need the pussy soap here. It was something else. And so that's why you got to get the fuck out of my house. Now, all your shit, get it out.
Have you ever been wrong about the 0 to 100? Because
I believe
that it's not fair for you to be called 0 to 100 in that place. I will give you that credit because when you ask, what bitch were you doing this for? You already went to 50. And you went the other 50. Now, you went maybe 150.
Maybe
but,
250.
You know,
maybe. But that's where it was going.
Okay.
I've known her for years, so it's like, I know where this goes. Here's the other part of it. So I go, now, get it. I'll call you an Uber.
Get the fuck out and get in the Uber that I just paid for.
Exactly. Because I think it's the right thing to do. She's here. Whatever. I'll send her. I want to make sure she's home. She goes, I don't want to go. I goes, well, you got to go. She goes, well.
That's psychological because you just said you've been friends for a long time. She said something out of line. It went to 150. And so she's probably feeling vulnerable. How do I make this end amicably when I didn't intend for it to go that way?
Yeah, you did. Here's what you did. You intended to go to 50 and get away with it. But you're not getting away with it. And so there's consequences to this. So now you got to go. So she goes, I don't want to go. I don't want to break up. I go, well, I didn't say we were breaking up. We could maybe try this again next week. But today, you got to get the fuck out of here. This day, you got to get the fuck out of here.
They're married with 3 kids.
Well, I don't want to leave. Well, you got to leave.
And she left?
And she left.
And then what? How's your relationship with her?
Fine.
Yeah? Have you slept with each other since?
Absolutely.
Okay. Keith, what are your thoughts about all this? I feel like I've been talking a lot.
I think he's right. It's weird to say to a woman that when they say, why did you go to 0 to 100? Because honestly, I'm highly intelligent.
Right. Exactly. I know where this is going.
Keith, have you ever done something like this? I feel like you have on a lighter scale. Like maybe not get the fuck out, but you pretended you were on the phone and you left or something like that. You like to nip things.
I've been in a restaurant and she was a bitch to the waitress. So I started eating the spaghetti with my hands. I started having a good time. And then as we left, I just kept walking faster and faster and left her.
Yeah, I think that's the same thing, except you're more direct.
I think you need to be direct because then it's not, you're not really making your, you're making your point, but you're not making your point. It's like.
I agree because when he ate spaghetti with his hand that time, she found it amusing.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, he's.
She didn't find it amusing. The waitress found it amusing.
Well, oh, I thought she did.
Okay. I was on a date. And it's funny because you know Aaron, right? Aaron Berg.
Yeah.
Did his one-man show. I took this girl to the one-man show. I got dressed. She got dressed. I picked her up. We went to I actually bought the dress for her. We went out. We parked. I had to, it was $60 to park 42nd Street. It was, I gassed the car up, had the car detailed. So we're in, and she says she's hungry. And I said, sure, let's go get something. We go to a diner, like right off of 42nd Street. And she goes, you looking at that girl's ass? And I might have, but I probably wasn't, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then she goes, so she's eating. And I'm eating, and she starts an argument. And I go, no, I wasn't, but you're going to really start an argument about, like, this is going to be a thing now. Like, we're getting ready to go to this play. You know, I paid money for these tickets. I parked the car. I got the car detailed. You've done nothing. All you did was show up, right? And now you're gonna abuse me about something that I didn't do. And I go, this is, and so I take the cheeseburger and I slide the cheeseburger and I start eating the cheeseburger. And she goes,
what, her cheeseburger?
Yeah.
Okay.
She goes, what are you doing? I go, I'm eating the cheeseburger. She goes, what? I go, well, I'm not gonna, if you're gonna argue with me, I'm not gonna feed you so that you can argue with me.
What
so,
kind of weird way of talking to people is this? I'm sorry, both of you guys, to be honest. What kind of shitty way? No, let me just for a
here's
second.
What's the, here's,
I love you and everything, but I just want to point out a couple things
sure,
if I can.
Okay. Sure.
Number one, you're already adding up all the shit that you're doing for her, right? But you are doing that to have her company. You could be doing this a different way. It's very strange.
She has my company as well.
I get it, but
right,
when the, but at the first sign of her saying something that you're not pleased with, you start
that,
adding up all
this
the
was
money.
All, this was all the, this is,
why
this
are
is
you all, hanging out with these people?
It, because this is what, this, what I'm telling you, this is why I'm saying you're a unicorn, because
no,
I just, none of this stuff, Matt, I don't care.
I have friends
I
that
really
are not
don't
like
care,
this.
I really don't care about a cheat.
Why
mean,
aren't you dating women like me? Why aren't you dating unicorns then? If you like it so much, you don't like it.
Sandy's
you
Andy's
want
already
this.
Got you. So it's, I'm not saying that I haven't dated women who, but I'm saying you come across this entitlement, women who have this entitlement that they can just do whatever they want. Why? Because
that
they,
I can just say, hey, I think I caught you looking at someone's ass and it felt weird to me.
That's not what she said. That's not what she said. It was more like, why the fuck are you looking at this girl's ass?
Why? See, okay. So in Keith's cases, when that happened, he never called them again. He's disinterested in this
right,
kind of
thing.
And behavior.
I never called her again also. But the point
and
is-
And the douche woman you did.
Oh, what do you mean? The douche? Oh, the pussy soap.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, douche is the word for it, right? Okay.
No, it's not douche. It wasn't a douche.
Oh, it was literal pussy soap.
I know my pussy okay, products. Okay.
I sincerely apologize.
All right. So
you probably know them better than I do.
I do.
Yes. I'll get some pointers
look,
from
I
you later.
I can put my hand on your stomach and tell you how many fibroids you got. So I'm good with that. So
I think he's being serious.
Let me mention this. This is advice that I can offer for couples. Sleep number beds. Get a sleep number bed. See, yeah, you can. There are negotiable things and there
absolutely
are non-negotiable things. And sleeping in comfort, quite frankly, is non-negotiable. It affects your whole day. So you can set your side of the bed a certain firmness or softness, and they can set their own side of the bed. If you're a gentleman, you set it for them. Mine is a 35. she's at 50 as we speak. And we all get a comfortable night's sleep.
You know what's fun is your wife goes in and out of town sometimes. We just found out that she left for a couple of days. What's fun about that is you set one side for this number, the other side for that number. When you miss her, you roll on to her side of the number.
Mm-hmm. It's time to meet the bed that can only come from Sleep Number. Right now, I'm talking about the 360 Smart Bed. It adjusts as you sleep. If you start tossing or turning, it goes, oh, I see what's going on. Bzz, little firmer. A little softer. You don't even know it. You wake up refreshed, ready to hit on five chicks. Now's a great time to come in during the lowest prices of the season, where you can save $500 to $700 on the most popular 2016 beds.
Hey, listen, if you can't use that $500 to $700 savings, I'll help you spend it.
Visit any of the 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com to find a Sleep Number store near you, and be sure to tell them Keith and the girls sent you. All right?
Okay.
There you have it. Now.
Now.
Can I tell you a secret?
Sure.
My wife is away for a couple days.
Yeah.
I leave all the cabinets open.
It's so easy to just grab and move.
You know, I mean, you have to close them when she's around. Set a good example. Lead by example. Dante Nero is the website. DanteNero.com. The show, beigephilip.com. You do want to subscribe. You do want to be a better bitch. You do want to get your balls back. Hey, it's tough talk, but it's a tough world out there, right? That's everything, I think, Dante. The Twitter account is at Dante Nero, and he tells it like it is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think...
And I would say I expect the best from men as well. They should be working out. They should be polite. They should be worldly. They should be reading books and bettering themselves so that they're a better mate choice. That they should be clean and courteous and stuff. But when somebody is being disrespectful, you talk about it, and then after you talk about it, there should be an action.
Do you have a favorite thing that somebody can do on a first date or like in the beginning of a relationship that lets you know one way or another it'll go in a better direction rather than a worse?
Ass licking.
I think the ass licking is good. Mm-hmm. I think you got to be honest. What'll happen is a guy will go out with a girl and he'll want to get laid, and so there'll be things that he won't like, but he won't say anything. Because he's hedging his bets. But what all he's doing is basically he's telling her that him having sex with her is more important than his own personal integrity. And then why would she like him if he doesn't care about his own integrity? So, like, for instance, I've gone on a date to pick up a girl, and I ring the bell 15, 20 minutes, half hour. And I hadn't got a call. I'm calling and like nobody's calling. And I leave. And she goes, oh, I came downstairs and you weren't there. And I go, well, I'm gone.
Well, yeah, that's a half an hour. That's crazy.
And right. So I burned her house down. Now there's downstairs.
But here's the thing. If she had called me and said, listen, I'm running a little late. Because I'm not unreasonable. Things happen. But the point is, if I don't establish that you need to respect my boundaries from day one, why would you think that she's going to respect your boundaries? And I say this about kids. When you have kids and you say to a kid, come here. So say the kid's screwing around with the plug or somebody's over by the plug. Not by the, but you say, come here. And then the kid doesn't come. You say, Dylan, come here. Dylan, come here. Now, the second that you've said this three times, what are you teaching the kid? You're teaching the kid, when I call you, you don't have to come. You don't realize that that's what you're teaching him. And then as you pay bills and you go to work and you're tired because you're just too tired. So when you say, come here, the next step needs to be action. You need to go and physically get the kid and bring him over that they need to know that you're going to speak once. And after the first time that you speak, there's going to be action. Now, I get how parents are tired and they go, well, they come here. And then it becomes, so then a kid starts to understand when you mean it. They understand tone and inflection. So they know when that tone is. I mean, our mothers knew that.
Right.
You knew when she said,
Dante, shut the fuck up.
Then you, then it's going down. I need to do it. But the times before that, hey, all right, in a second, whatever. Right.
Damn it, that didn't work. Dante, get the fuck out of here.
Doing it on the first thing is, so you have to, people act, it should act the same way. If this, I don't like this. Like if I'm out on a date and a girl says, oh my God, you're such an asshole. I go, listen, don't call me an asshole. I don't talk to you out of your name, and I don't want to be talked. Let's start this relationship on a good note where we both respect each other. I'm going to stop the date to make that clear. Now, most guys will go, I don't want to fuck it up. Maybe she'll fuck me. But I'm going to say, you can't call me an asshole because I don't want you to call me an asshole out of anger. Now, maybe it's fine. Maybe you're accustomed.
If we name this show Dante's an Asshole, will you be offended?
I will not be. You got to go. But you say, I don't like this. I've never said a situation where people call themselves out of their names, even on a joking matter where it doesn't escalate.
Sparrow saying, treat women like children. Roger.
And I think you got to treat men like children as well, if that's what you're going to put. I mean, I think we're the same. We are the same. We are human beings and we're the same, and we respond. So when you take when you create those boundaries, you should create those boundaries and not do it, because what most people do is they're not themselves on that date. And then they slowly become themselves. And then those non-negotiables come out. And then you go, well, we really were never compatible in the first place. Mm-hmm. So stop sending a representative. Be who you are on the front end. And then I can make a decision whether I like you for real. But what happens is most people don't have enough value in themselves. And they think, if this person doesn't like me, then I don't have value.
Well, let's set the poll for today's show. It should be very interesting. Go to keithandthegirl.com/forums. We'd love to hear your response to this. I think it's going to be a little polarizing, as
sure.
Everywhere you go, right? So let me know what you guys think. Keith?
You got to put your happiness first or they won't. Am I right or wrong?
Yes,
respect
absolutely.
Yourself. Protect your manhood. Protect your womanhood. Protect your non-binary hood.
Okay? Your non-binary.
That's right. Dante, thank you, man. Always
Thanks
a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. I love you guys, man. Really. KeithandTheGirl.com.